All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of Gaslighting the Warfighter with myself, Tim Jensen, and my lovely co-host, Rosie Torres.
Hola.
Who is the director, CEO, all things, the head person in charge of Burn Pits 360. So welcome back to everybody to this live episode of Gaslighting the Warfighter. We have some great subjects to cover today. There's been some incredible advancements over the last 30 days since our last broadcast or our last episode. Some things we'll cover today is the NDAA of 2022, some great news with that. We got some information on 2022 legislation. We got the information on the registry, some treatment information, and then some information on SCOTUS that Rose is going to close out the show with. So I'm super excited about that. Before we jump into everything, how's it been, Rosie? Busy last 30 days.
Busy. Always busy. A decade into it, busy. You know what I mean? But we're grateful. We're grateful to be here and have the opportunity to share all the great work we're doing together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were just down visiting your place in Robstown a couple weeks ago. An incredible facility there that is, you know, a local community satellite of Burn Pits 360 headquarters.
Yep.
That provides you know, a lot of resources to the local town there. Fantastic.
Yeah. We just did a Rapping for Warriors that we do every year over at the mall. It's really like a program of camaraderie and bringing, you know, just the families together and the community, and people get to learn about like what veterans actually go through. And so we had volunteers like veterans and families and the community.
Right.
And we raised over $2,000 and then turned around and took that money and attached to that program is something called Hope for Heroes. So any veterans experiencing hardship during Christmas, we turn around and use that money and buy presents for those families. And they came and picked them up. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's a fabulous little facility that you have there.
And, yeah, brick and mortar little.
Yeah. Very honored and to see it and see what you guys are doing for the local community there. And fantastic stuff. What's your thoughts on 2021? We're coming to the end of the year. I'm kind of interested. When it comes to all the work that we've been doing for toxic exposure, you know, if we were to look at back on January 1 to where we are today, how do you feel about the progress?
I mean, I'm proud of the progress, right? I think I always go back to that operating room when they were doing Lira's biopsy and then just the community of people that we met back then.
Yeah.
It's not quick enough. It's not fast enough because when I think go back to that day and those times, we've buried a lot of friends, brothers, sisters of the community. And we've lost so many along the way. So for me, it's never going to be enough, nor will it ever be enough for these families that have been walking the halls of Congress. But I'm proud and honored of the progress, but things need to just move faster. Like time is of essence, right?
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it's slow, right? Yeah. It's like Congress isn't paying attention. And at the end of it all, after the class action lawsuits against KBR, after all these things, I feel like there's no accountability. Like they're still stalling. And I wish that my hope is, and I'm confident that, you know, with John and John by our side and you guys and just the whole community that it'll move fast and we'll get a bill passed.
Yeah. And it seems like the momentum is picking up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen a lot more people get involved. There's a lot more co-sponsors to both the team and the Honor the Pact bill that are both the two leading bills that are out there right now.
Right.
That's picking up a lot of traction, picking up a lot of attention amongst the eyes of people on Capitol Hill. And, you know, I think the word is getting out even further within the veteran audience that this, information is important to them, right? That this has, deep impacts that can affect hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of individuals that have been in and out of Iraq and Afghanistan and plenty other of countries.
Right.
Because in my travels, I've had a lot of people come up to me and be like, man, I never knew what was really going on with the burn pit situation until we started listening to your show and, the things that Grunstyle is doing and the information that Rosie and Burn Pits 360 is sharing out. So I see that, right? And because it is daunting. Right. Because I asked myself this question. I asked myself this question this morning. It's like, man, it feels like it's been a long 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's been a grind. And, you know, it seems like the system is built that way to really just pound people down to where they lose their fight and their vigor. And, you know, they just kind of disappear and the problem never gets solved because, you know, it's just too heavy of a lift. Mm-hmm. But then I think about all the things that we've accomplished in the short period of time and, you know, the number of people that are reaching out to me, sending me direct messages and personal messages
right.
of saying thank you and, you know, whatever the, you know, that looks like. That's the part that encourages me. It keeps yes. me on the path of saying, man, you know, this has been a long journey so far, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we were a little bit presumptuous in our terms of how fast we can get something accomplished and once John Stewart and John Field are coming online. But I think it's moving in the right direction, right? I think that we're making a lot of progress.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Look, I've had those moments too where we're just exhausted and tired. But when you get that phone call from a survivor widow or someone's son or daughter or the actual veteran themselves saying, like, look, I only have so long to live. Like, how can I make sure that my family's taken care of? Or I've been misdiagnosed and they're just pushing me off to the side. I need a doctor.
Yeah.
I need something.
Yeah.
That's what really encourages us to keep the fight, right? Like, keep going.
Yeah.
Fast enough. Yeah. Like, I feel like with the whole COVID thing, that really stalled us because the offices are closed. And had they not been on, you know, closed and locked down, you need an escort. And so, like, that really stalled us. Yeah. I think we would have had a bill by now.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree. Like, we had some serious momentum going up into the beginning of 2020. And then mm-hmm. it all kind of came screeching to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've made the best of that situation.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's challenging. It is certainly challenging. But, you know, then I look at, like, the 9/11 commission
mm-hmm.
and the time it took to get that bill passed, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a serious amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems very similar, the trajectory that we're on this path is very paralleled, right? And that inflection point is right on the horizon. You
mm-hmm.
And I think as we were talking before the show came on today, like, it's a ticking clock in terms of, you know, momentum and the spits and fits that we've seen, right? Of starts and stops. Like 2022, if we don't get something passed in 2022, that's going to be not necessarily a hard stop. It's going to be a hard reset.
Right.
Because, you know, to rebuild that whole thing. And this is where we need everybody at home
mm-hmm.
to be getting involved, right? To continue having that conversation with their friends, their families, their loved one, you know, sharing this content that's out there, you know, talking with their representatives, right?
Yeah.
Really getting the representatives to be aware of this situation and the bills that are in front of them, right? Because, you know, listen, at the end of the day, Takano's bill or Tester's bill, one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
They both have their merits, right? And I think if either one pass, we certainly have our favorite. But, you know, if either one of those pass, we have a victory for the veteran community.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to get more visibility on that.
Yeah, I mean, we need, you know how I feel about that. We need the Takano bill, right? The Takano bill because of the 23 presumptions, right? VA is spoon feeding with the rhinitis, sinusitis, and asthma. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. It's a good thing. I mean, people have these issues, but they're not dying of those issues, right? The funerals, like every week, every month, Tim, and that's hard, right? Like it's a tough thing. And so, we want to see the Ruiz bill, which is the Takano bill, passed. And it's like the 9/11, you're right. It's like they're going to just give you a little at a time. But I know Biden needs to do the right thing.
Yeah,
like he could pass that bill, like get it done.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I've been rather hard on the president in that regard, you know, and I think rightfully so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not talking about anything political. In
right,
terms
no.
of, like, that's all nonsense to me.
Yeah.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I think is important is that, you know, President Biden is one degree of separation away from this tragedy that's affecting our community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His son died of it. He believes that he died of it. He believes that, you know, that presumption is the way forward. He believes that there's no more science that is needed in epidemiology and the research. But he's kicking the can in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then we flip that coin, right? We see the progress that's being made. So, you know, just came out December 30th. That's today, right?
Yeah.
I forget what days were sometimes.
Exactly.
But published today on Fox News. Our good friend, Representative Ruiz got his, two of his bills that have, which I think is important to note here, which was part of the Warfighter Pact,
mm-hmm.
right? In one of the original bills that, was being worked on by you, John, and Senator Gillibrand,
mm-hmm.
right? Ruiz came to the table and, you know, had, and that was, there was a bit of a merger there. As
right.
I understand it, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So seeing that his two bills are being passed is an extraordinary step in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
right? So what exactly was passed? He had two bills that right. were condensed, and one was the, and they both affect the Department of Defense uh-huh. and the Burn Pits Health Provider Training Act, H.R. 4397,
right.
which will require the DOD to implement mandatory training for all medical provisioners working for the Department on public health effects of burn pits,
mm-hmm.
The Burn Pit Registration Expansion Act, H.R. 4400, which will require the DOD and the Veterans Affairs to expand the registry to include military members who are stationed in Egypt and Syria. So expanding right. those areas, which, again, is a good thing because in the Takano bill, or the tester bill, rather, mm-hmm. it's less symptoms or,
right.
or cancers. And it's less countries of effect,
mm-hmm.
right? So big advance here. This was tied into the National Defense Act Authorization Act of 2022, which came at a frightening $768 billion,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we're talking about, you know, just funding, you know, the healthcare of our veterans that have, you know, have fought these wars.
That's right.
And that's the problem is, well, we're doling out $700 billion in a defense strategy for 1 year.
Yeah, that's right.
The fuck out of here.
I know. You're exactly. Hey, look, I mean, you're right, Tim. And that's our work right there, right? We've been working with Congressman Ruiz for many years. And through the years we've made a sort of like a list, right? Of things that we've wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
And this is all from the feedback through our national registry. I mean, we had the first registry and then came the VA registry. So I'm damn proud of our team, right? And the work that we've done together because of the outreach, because of the partnership, because of the platforms, the word's gotten out there. And so our recommendations, it's a long list, but this is part of it, right? It's like, adding Syria, adding Egypt. There's still 9 active burn pits, and then those are 2 locations that are active.
Right.
So adding those, they're important because, you know, these men and women are there.
Right.
And so they deserve to be on the registry.
Sure.
And when I think back to when they first published the registry and we had, you know, the families go and advocate to Congress, and it was no, 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 and then finally yes. It feels good to know that their work is speaking volumes through the passage of these bills, you know, and it's going to take time. I'm concerned on what those clinical guidelines look like for these practitioners in the DOD healthcare system,
right.
you know, kind of saying, okay, well, let me look out for these things. What do those things look like?
Right.
Right? What are they going to be? And so.
And that's a great thing. That's a great question, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what you and I have been talking about for a very long time.
Yeah.
And to the point we were inserting flyers into our product.
That's right.
Right.
Saying, that's amazing.
These are the questions that you need to be asking your primary care provider.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm hoping, much like I'm sure that you are hoping, that Ruiz picks up on a little bit of what we were throwing down there and saying, hey, you know, these are, it's not necessarily the training so much for the practitioners, which I think is absolutely important,
mm-hmm.
but there should be a training for how they communicate with their, with that individual,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the individual is not going to know the right answers.
Right.
Or the right questions to ask,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So.
We want to be part of that process. We were part of the process with the Airborne Hazards Open Burn Pit Registry. implementation. When that was implemented, Tim, believe it or not, we had to go before the Defense Health Board to ask them to add constrictive bronchiolitis to the registry. Wasn't even a question. They were asking more questions about hobbies and what you did as a child than they were asking about the true issue.
Right.
So we, you know, fought them on it. And we're like, we went to Washington and said, this is ridiculous. How are you not going to ask about lung disease? So they added it, right, through the efforts of our great friends over at the Sullivan Center and us. And now here we are again, right, where they're implementing something. And we're going to keep our eyes on how this is how this is done.
Because at the end of the day, you know, these are breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
We know it. Right?
Yeah, right.
But this is how politics is played.
Right, but they're important. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like you chips makes chunks when it comes to moving the needle in the game of politics.
So it feels good. It feels good to see that we had a leader like Congressman Ruiz saying, you know, sitting down with us years ago and saying, we're going to make this happen. Jen Kepner died of pancreatic cancer, and she was one of his constituents. He was at her bedside. Like, this is a congressman. That's what leadership looks like. Yeah. Everyone needs to do the same.
Absolutely. Instead, you know, what is upsetting is that we have a lot of veterans up on the Hill right now that are just pandering to our community.
Yeah.
Right? And if you look at their voting record, have done nothing to help the veteran community at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting votes down on things that are absolutely like third, fourth tier in terms of what is important to our community.
And I think the community should know on this issue for 2022. Who's against it and who's for it?
Yes.
You know, it's time to
stand up and be counted.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're going to see from at least myself and you know, the Grunstyle position is holding those individuals accountable. Those veterans that are on the Hill, right, that you know, stood up and swore, you know, the defense to this country and the Constitution.
Right. Right?
And the brotherhood and, of and the sanctity of the values that we share as service members, like we have to take care of our ourselves, right? And going up there and voting contrary to what is important to our community is not helpful,
right?
Right, especially when we have something as important as toxic exposure that is killing tens of thousands of veterans over
in their districts,
in droves,
and they're in their districts.
Yes,
they need
yes.
to know who these people are. They need to say their name.
Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely encouraged with that. We're going to need all of your guys' help at home in 2022 to make that happen. You know, and there's great information. We need to do some updating, but you know, if you go to the gruntstyle.com webpage, or even Burpitz 360 webpage, even the Warfighter
2021, that needs to be updated. Yeah, we'll be
updating that one. But in all three of these URLs, you'll be able to download PDFs to mail to your to your representative, and it's all there. All the information's there. All you need to do is put your name on it and fire it off. Right. So that's, you know, get
involved. Those phone calls. Yeah, make those phone calls. Hold your member of Congress accountable. They're there for you.
Yeah,
you elected them into office.
Absolutely.
And if they want to be reelected, I suggest they jump on, you know, make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. How's read some comments here. Turn separation. I'll pay at it. Yeah, Riz. Richard says Ruiz has been MIA since Burpitz 360 is at the Hill. Well, I will tell you, Representative Ruiz is a great friend of the organization. So I don't think he's bird dogging anybody.
Yeah. I think he's been very busy on the, you know, the House floor, just pushing this issue, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, our hats off to him and, other members of Congress, who are stepping up.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing is like, you know, some of the people that I've interacted with over the period of time have been like, well, how can you work with Senator Gillibrand? She's a total Democrat, blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, this is beyond politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. This is not left, right, or center. This is an issue that whoever is paying attention to it, I don't care if you know, what side of the political fence
they're
on.
That's right. That's right.
Get on the train and let's solve a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't give a shit.
I don't think it matters at Will's funeral whether it was a Republican or Democrat that was signing a bill or that was up front, you know, representing the issue. Like, how does it, what does that matter to his kids?
Right.
They're without their dad now.
Exactly.
And all of these, children of your brothers and sisters that, that have passed on here, doesn't matter. It's, it has nothing to do with party. Like, this is an American thing and it's, it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The VA is giving veterans a second chance to die for their country. Oh, that is very true, Mr. Wisner. true.
That's right.
Very true. Let's see. All right. So, so what does 2022 look like, Rosie, for for the issue?
I mean, strong strategy, right? Between us and the Johns and the whole team, like whoever's out there in the veteran community that's wanting to come on board and help us get this bill across the finish line, like we're going to just work a strategy that no one's ever seen. And I think we've done that already where no one's ever seen us partner with, you know, we're not really a veterans organization in the sense of like on the Hill type of thing. Like, you know, Wounded Warrior Project and things like that. We're not the Big Six. But hey, it's great that we're not the Big Six because we're able to do things that they can't or are not willing to. Yeah. Right. And so coming to these veteran entrepreneurs and we came knocking on your door and you said yes. And then bringing in the 9/11 community, you know, people were like, why didn't I think of that? Well, I don't know why you didn't think of that. But the point is we have this great team. We've had, you know, if just put together a group of allies and we need all of you out there to stand with us because otherwise it's not going to get across the finish line.
Right.
We can't do it alone. But I know that, you know, throughout all of 2021, we've had meetings, you know, every 2 weeks just to talk about strategy and how we're going to get this across the finish line. So we need everyone's help, but that's what that looks like. It's like, we already have a meeting set up for the first week of January in DC and, you know, we're ready for people to join us either for a rally. I mean, I'm tired of symposiums because we've done symposiums for 10 years.
Right.
They're important, you know, in the sense of like what content you're pushing out. But we're doing town halls. We've done some town halls. We have great advocates doing town halls in their cities and states. And I'm very honored to be part of that team. But legislatively, we're ready and we want to get this bill passed and I know we can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
With your help.
And it comes down to that grassroots level. Mm-hmm. At this point, right?
Yeah.
I think all the work has been done on, you know, the bigger targets.
Right.
Right. Now it's getting down into, you know, that grassroots level of, you know, 3-4 rings outside of the veteran themselves and, you know, speaking to the family members that, you know, may be experiencing the loved one that is going through the situation.
Right.
And getting them up to speed on that beyond, you know, just being the provider of health or assisting with the healthcare at that point. So, you know, I think it's absolutely important that, you know, from us, from our side, to continue on the education part, right? Where, you know, leading with the right, what is the right questions that you should be asking your primary care provider?
Mm-hmm.
I think for a veteran, you know, that is, that has served in Iraq, Afghanistan, or any of the 22 nations that we have identified, and that list, but one day we'll have to share that list.
Yeah.
Just so people are tracking that. But keeping people aware of the right questions that need to be asked on the exposures that potentially exist through blood exposure, through chemical exposure, through inhalants, you know, all those different things that are affecting the individual right now. And really targeting those people within that latency period.
Yeah. Right?
That are within the window of being highly affected.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, we've been working on that military toxic exposure guide for years, but we haven't put it out. It's not ready. I mean, we still have feedback coming in from the researchers, from the doctors, from the veterans, right? And we want to perfect it and put it out together with you guys so that there is that resource out there for them, right? It's never going to be perfect, but we want it, you know, we're going to push it out in 2022. And we're hoping that, you know, it's a life-saving tool. But the bottom line is we've been carrying DOD and VA on our backs for years, Tim. And And that in itself is it's just shameful. You know, like how is it that that when people reach out, they're like, we have nowhere to turn. There's no one.
Right.
Like, where do we go?
Right.
What do we do?
That's the thing. Is like everything else, when you're relying on the government, like there's no help. There's nothing coming.
No. So 2022, it's like, you know, we're ready to shame people.
Yeah.
Right. People need to be called out.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were doing that early in this process, the wall of shame. We had to stop because we were hurting people's feelings. but, you know, I think we're now in that position that in 2022, you know, it's going to be targeting, but there's a 44, some over 40 veteran representatives and senators on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, there's close to 100.
Yeah. So how about we target all those people?
Yeah, we'll start with those.
Right. And we're going to shame all of them because that's the lowest hanging fruit. You guys, you know, you can look at all their voting records. And trust me, people, I promise you, do it. Check it out. Look at what they're voting for. They don't give a shit about what's going on in the veteran community. It's time to hold them accountable. Put their feet to the fire.
Yeah. I mean, look, how many families have reached out to us whose loved ones have died? Like, I just wish I could take their photo, their story to every member of Congress who's a veteran and have them learn about that person, yeah. Right?
How many people, you know, after they were, you know, talking about Wes Black and Will Thompson on the last, you know, rollout that mm-hmm. we had on Capitol Hill, how many of them have done anything for Will and his family since he's died?
Nothing.
None of them.
Nothing.
Cause there's no media opportunity for that. There's nothing right. for those representatives, but they're damn proud to be standing shoulder to shoulder with them when it's you know perfectly you know when it helps them politically.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Is you know I expect more from our veteran community, right? But I certainly expect more from our representatives and mm-hmm. our senators, but. You know, this is a broken system, and you know, we all have to understand that. And I think all of us do understand that as we continue to get gamed and gaslit by our own government.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at what point do we say, no, we're not going to take it anymore? I think the veteran community needs to stand up and say, this is the moment in time that says, you know, we watched what you guys did to our aunts, uncles, parents, mm-hmm. The generation of Vietnam, and watched them die in front of us. We're not going to do that. And we're not going to let our children have to experience us dying. In droves because of government criminal malfeasance.
And they're dying at such a much younger age. You know, we work very closely with Rick Weidman and everyone over at the Vietnam Veterans of America. They've been one of our greatest partners and mentors, right? Like, they've been amazing. And they agree, like you know, you guys, they're dying at these young men and women in their late 20s, early 30s.
Right.
40s, you know.
Of exotic cancers.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, but we're excited, you know, 2022, we have our, scientific, committee who, is working on, continuous, you know, analyzing of our registry and is going to be putting out amazing things. Like, these are researchers, doctors, great, great team of people that are be putting out some amazing information that I think will only continue to help identify, right, like these preventative measures that can be implemented.
Yeah,
we're excited. Lots of great things.
And let's jump right into that. Yeah. You know, 2022. What does the future look like? You know, so we talked a little bit about the legislation side of things, mm-hmm. but what is it that you know? Between Burn Pit 316 and the Grunstyle Foundation, you know, we have some big plans. You know, because at the end of the day, we have the legislation side of that is, and that's like grinding. You know, corn on a mead. It just takes forever, right? Yeah. But then we have what we're doing on our charitable side, which is the direct action, which we know which will move the needle, which will bring quality, you know, alternative therapies mm-hmm. to veterans in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what that
looks like. I mean, look, Tim, like I've told you before, we've talked about it, you know, for the past 2 years, right? Like, it's great. Like, we know, we want the audience to know, like, that we are doing great things with Congress because we want to see change. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, presumption's not going to, you know, it doesn't matter. It matters in the sense that it'll force VA and DOD's hand to identify these issues, to acknowledge them as real issues mm-hmm. and not give them room to just kind of push things to the side. It'll grant these survivors, the widows, the benefits. They're not going to have to beg and hire legal counsel, right? It'll just be an automatic yes,
right?
But in the meantime, while we work Congress and sort of shame their hand into doing the right thing, we know that there's the other side to it. The reality is that they're not getting the care, and there's no access to these devices and treatment that will give them a better quality of life.
Sure.
Right. So we do, like, preventative screening is important. Legislation's important. But in the meantime, we're here to bridge that gap. Right. And we're doing by that by facilitating these different modalities that are life changing. And so through the amazing support and funding that you guys have provided, we've been able to provide a few veterans with oxygen concentrators, mm-hmm. right? So that's one. And then you have the hyperbaric stuff.
Yeah.
But with oxygen concentrators, you know, the VA won't provide a concentrator unless there's like certain criteria,
sure.
right, that you have to meet in order to receive one. And so in the meantime, they prescribe these huge tanks that you – that heat up your whole house, and
right.
We have veterans that it's blowing electricity sockets out of their in their homes, and it just becomes a safety issue. It's like crazy. So
I'm telling you, the VA wants to, like, they just want to see the veteran in the most somehow. Misery
yeah.
or death.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And so, you know, to see these veterans come to us And you all grant us the opportunity, the Grenstahl Foundation grant us the opportunity to be able to provide these life-saving, life-changing devices and treatment. Man, like, that's a tearjerker. Yeah. Like, it tugs at the heart just knowing, like, someone that's saying, please, can I have what I need to live?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And denying that is criminal, and I'll say it over and over. But that's one, right? So these oxygen concentrators... Knowing that we have the funding to do that, Tim, like knowing that these veterans can go out and spend time with their families comfortably or travel comfortably or just go to the store and not worry about, like, how am I going to breathe?
Right.
Right. Damn, that's like, you know.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Right. And there's a lot of dignity, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I think is often overlooked here is that, you know, imagine like the... imagine a 28-year-old veteran. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, in forward deployments, around burn pits, you know, came back 7 years later, and she's in her mid-30s now, and she's suddenly on an oxygen machine, mm-hmm. right? And she's having to take this silver oxygen machine everywhere she goes. She's got a little caddy for it,
yeah.
right? And she was in tip-top of her health not but 2 years previous. And now she's having to trail this little oxygen machine around her because she can't breathe because her pulmonary system has been destroyed.
Yeah.
Right. From the inhalants that she was exposed to. Like, there is no fucking dignity with that.
Yeah.
And that proud veteran is now just, you know, crushed and put into a machine called the VA and hoping that in 5 years, 10 years, maybe that, you know, technology will have come along that would get, you know, provide that she would have a smaller breathing machine.
Yeah.
Like that's the hope that is being provided to these veterans.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. You just described like a huge portion of people on our registry, right?
Yeah.
When you describe that female in my mind, I'm thinking of Amanda Older, who was a young girl who died of cancer, and she was from San Antonio. And so I'm picturing as you're describing, right, this young lady that you're just, you know, creating sort of that image. Yeah. But they're real people, right?
That's it.
And so the VA has their guidelines and policies and criteria, and they're not going to assign these devices. And so we're here to do that together.
Yeah.
And just knowing that we can do that, it feels amazing,
yeah.
you know, that those opportunities are there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I love about the Grenstahl Foundation, right?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we're doing the work that the VA won't or the VA can't,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's probably mostly the won't stuff, right?
Right. I mean, these veterans, Tim, you know, again, I think that's what sets apart the foundation is that I hear a lot of these veterans say, like, we don't need a blanket or a pair of socks or a mug
right.
or whatever. Like, we need life-saving devices and treatment.
100%. So one of the things Gwenstyle Foundation has partnered with Burn Pits 360 on is, you know, we'll be delivering 12 hyperbaric chambers mm-hmm. to 12 veterans this mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. It's not a big number. I understand that, ladies and gentlemen, but it is a start, right?
Yeah.
We will deliver more and more and more every year. This is going to be something that is a staple of the Gwenstyle Foundation. It is a program that'll be long lasting. Mm-hmm. And our idea here is to provide this modality to these veterans, you know, where it generally costs anywhere between $250 to $450 for a session.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And we're going to deliver these modularities into the veterans' homes for you know, $100 a month to be able to, you know, buy this and own it mm-hmm. from the foundation. And that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than the cost of treatment, right? Mm-hmm. Now they'll be in their home. They can, you know, do 2-3 dives a day or whatever they need. And here's the benefits of it, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it is rebuilding gray brain matter. It is rebuilding cognitive abilities, soft tissue damages, suppressing chemical and blood toxicities, mm-hmm. right? It's having all of these incredible, incredible health benefits for the combat veteran. Why isn't the VA doing this?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Neither. They won't supply either one.
And the technology is there that you could put one of these machines in to every veteran's home in the United States at very little cost to the mm-hmm. VA.
Right. Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, look, I'll share our testimony of when Leroy went through the before and after pictures, and then people that have gone through Warrior Hope Network. Through Burn Pits 360, we've seen just amazing change in physical appearance, and then their cognitive yes. function improved. So yeah, Tim, I mean, that's, we're just ready to roll up our sleeves even more and get that done, yeah. you know?
And then, you know, there's some incredible treatments that we're exploring in the stem cell therapies.
Yeah, we're working right? with VIP. So shout out to Mick Bensko and the amazing team at Veterans in Pain. And we're working on another partnership as well. And so I'm excited what we're all doing together, yeah, right? It's absolutely. Like it can only happen through these amazing organizations. But the stem cell is also life-saving, you know, and life-changing. And we'll be going over to Colombia to BioAccelerator, which is another great company that we've talking behind the scenes. We're making it happen. We're gonna do great things for 2022. We're already working on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's already in the works.
So those are two big programs that mm-hmm. you're going to be seeing both foundations and both charities here talking about in 2022.
Yep.
And we're going to be, I'm extremely proud of it. And I, again, one of the most important things to me is making sure that our community of warfighters that have shouldered the burden of combat for 20 years mm-hmm. in this country are being taken care of. And, you know, that's, unfortunately, it's going to be our community that takes care of ourselves. Yep. Right? It's no good. It's not going to be anybody else, ladies and gentlemen. And if we think that it's going to be, you're sadly mistaken. It's time to put your boots on. It's time to get to work. Our mission is to take care of our community mm-hmm. and find ways of doing that in your own local community, in a national scale, through the Gruntstyle Foundation. If you want to get involved there, we would love to take on any help that we can take because we have some big, big goals ahead of us. And you know, we are just starting with delivering these alternative treatments, starting with hyperbaric chambers oxygen therapy.
Yeah, and I'd love to mention that you know, for 2022, we'll be having some amazing guests like Dr. Zema, who's already studied the dust from Iraq.
Right.
We'll talk about Will Thompson here in a minute.
Yes.
And Dr. Hendricks over in Arizona, who's been providing the hyperbaric treatment for years and years to all communities in the veteran space, Healing Arizona Vets. Go check out her website. So
yeah, there you go, let's see. So hit all those subjects. Registry,
maybe. Yeah, and Will, we could skip the registry, but we could go on to Will if you want.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about. You know, Wesley and Will in previous shows, right? Great, mm-hmm. Great advocates, great friends, great individuals, great service members, mm-hmm. great patriots that unfortunately have lost their lives to toxic exposure. We had just recently lost Will Thompson over the holidays. And I know that you were particularly close with him. So I'll give you this moment to share some of those.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It was a tough one. Will reached out to me more than 5 years ago. And at that time, you know, he was experiencing issues with his lungs, didn't really know what was going on. But he was in the military at the time. And so they discovered that his lungs were so compromised that it required a double lung transplant. So he underwent that transplant. And I just want to tell you a little bit of history about Will. You know, rest in peace, my friend. We'll take it from here. And in honor of him, we want to see that bill through. But went through the double lung transplant. His body rejected the lungs and underwent another double lung transplant. So twice, I can't even imagine going through that type of surgery. Went through another double lung transplant, the second one. His body accepted that. And through that, you know, he was one of our advocates. Him and his wife and his children would meet us on the hill and we'd walk the halls together. And through his illness, like, he never said no, right? He testified before the Senate Veteran Affairs Committee. We had several toxic exposure symposiums in Washington where he testified and sort of shared his journey about how he couldn't run outside with his kids. He couldn't go fishing with his kids. He couldn't do the things that a normal dad could do anymore because he gave his lungs for his country. And he said, and I'd do it again.
Yeah.
Right. And people kind of look at him like people didn't understand, right? Serving your country would be like, what are you talking about? Why would you? But that's the kind of man that Will was. And Will never said, why me? During the eulogy, one of his best friends shared that he said, why not me? And so when Will couldn't make it to the Hill, his kids would show up. They were in middle school.
Yeah.
Right. And him and the wife and the kids would walk the halls with us and just make it happen. And unfortunately, this year, Will developed cancer of the face. And that's really what he succumbed to. You know, his body was just so tired.
Yeah.
And he passed away, you know. But it along with like Wesley Black and Will, you know, I think Wesley Black said it, like, I feel like a canary in a coal mine. And for Will too, like he just constantly would share his story with the hopes that someone would do something. And I think that's what's going to remain our strategy, is having veterans, giving them that platform to tell their stories, not our stories, but their stories,
right,
and sort of shame their members into doing the right thing. It's giving them that access to Fox News, giving them the access to CBS News, giving them the access to whatever outlet that we can get our hands on and have them tell their story.
Right.
So that people feel ashamed when you're seeing their children bury their parents.
Right.
You know what I mean? So really just wanted to honor Will and thank his family for sharing him with us and allowing him to just be that strong advocate that he was, right? But he never once said, why me?
Yeah.
Right? Never said, poor me, why me? I mean, he was a man of faith. And just talk about admiration, right? When you look at someone who's gone through this issue of toxic exposure and how he was so brave in continuing the fight no matter what he went through.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible. Incredible human, mm-hmm. You know, and it is definitely a loss to have him not with us any longer. So
yeah.
We'd like to dedicate this show to the memory of Will Thompson. And you're not forgotten, right, our friend. And the fight will continue. And we're still in it.
Yeah.
So I believe, ladies and gentlemen, let's end on a high note.
Yeah.
Right? If we know the story of Rosie Torres and Leroy, you know, and what really started this whole journey of burn pits, right? It really was predicated off of a legal case, mm-hmm. that happened to Leroy in his time with law enforcement here in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was let go from his job for medical reasons, you know, that were injuries caused from Iraq.
Right.
And, you know, I think that there's some questionable ways that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That legal situation really just starts being into this bigger thing. But here we are, you know, 10 plus years later, and your course is not your case is now going to be heard before the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Tell us
a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean the like you said, right, like Leroy and many other veterans that have not been accommodated in their jobs or that were discriminated because the employer just didn't want to know enough or care to know enough about these new illnesses surfacing, and in his case was lung injury. Couldn't go back on the highway. They wouldn't allow him back on the highway as a state trooper. Gave 14 years to the state. And, you know, that just didn't sit right with me. And I'm like, this can't be okay where you send your, you know, veterans or service members off to defend our freedom, and then they come back injured and then they can't find a place for them, mm-hmm. right? So that didn't sit well. And so we filed a USERRA lawsuit. And the Texas Supreme Court didn't want to hear it. Governor Abbott didn't want to touch it. No one wanted to touch it. It was just like, not our problem, you mm-hmm. know? And our lawyers asked us, well, do you want to go to the United States Supreme Court? It's a 1% chance. So don't count on it.
Yeah, yeah.
but, you know, we're a family of faith, and thank God that God saw us through it. And we got the news last week. The same day that Will passed away, actually. So it was really a bittersweet moment. It was tough, but got the news that the United States Supreme Court decided to hear his case. And so one of three cases that they took up. So you're right. This did start off as a personal journey for us. And then we just, you know, I worked for the VA for 23 years, Tim. And so I thought, damn, if this is happening to us, this is happening to a lot of other people.
Right.
And that's how Burn Pit 360 came to be, right? But it's not about Leroy. Like, there's so many cases out there pending a legal decision. And so based off of the outcome of Leroy's case, once it's heard this spring, that will determine, you know, the fate of all these men and women waiting.
Right.
You know, Texas is a state that could waive their sovereign immunity when they want to.
Right.
And they should be held liable, and they should follow the law just like any private entity. So we're excited. We're excited and we're hopeful. I don't know, like, it's just a little surreal, but just to know that it's going to be heard is a big accomplishment. It's a great thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And I believe that, Leroy's pressing his finest suits, getting ready.
Yeah, we'll see you guys up there, right, as they start the hearings. Yeah,
that's right.
We'll be up there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to the end of this podcast.
It's been a great year, Tim. Thank you for having us. Yeah, that's awesome.
And, again, I'm thankful for all the things that we've accomplished in 2021 together. I'm thankful for all the things we have coming up in the future.
Yeah.
And all the things that we're going to be doing to, again, bring a different level of service to our community,
mm-hmm.
bring a different level of care to our community, and, you know, bring information to them to empower them to be involved in our community in greater positions.
Right.
So I think that's going to be important, and I'm super proud to be on this path with you.
Awesome.
And for ladies and gentlemen, everybody at home, thank you for listening, and I hope you got some good information out of this. Make sure you're doing your own research into all the bills and the things that are happening with the legislation on toxic exposure. Find ways of getting involved. Go to any one of the websites we've talked about before, thewarfighter2021.com, burnpits360.org, gruntstyle.com/foundation, and you can download all the PDFs that you need to send to your representatives to get them thinking about this issue as well, mm-hmm. if they are not already doing so. And until next year, this is the last podcast of 2021, Rosie. And we'll be seeing you guys in the new year new problems and new solutions.
Yep, and hopefully a bill.
There you go. So we'll see you guys very soon. Take care of one another. Happy New Year's, and I hope all of you have a very Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Toodaloo.